Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Hello, everyone. This is Jason David Frank, and you are listening from the Command Center, GeekCast Radio Network.
The sky in five ways. Five heroes walking through the sun for 5 days. Dark forces lurking, leaving evil where they roam. Five rangers looking for the same five stones. There's treasure to be found. There's some lives to be saved. A planet to look after. There's a whole lot of space. Good versus evil. We got heroes on the scene. Power Rangers Overdrive is the number one team.
Power Rangers. Operation
Welcome to a collaboration between the GeekCast Radio Network and the Pop Culture Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 18. I'm your host, Steve Joe Mike, and joining me is Scotty Cash. Hello.
How are you?
Tired.
I just did the salute to you. You can't see it, but I did it. I said, how are you?
Yes. Salute through the hair.
That's right.
Oh, wait. What hair? Anyway.
Yeah.
We are a month late with this one. Stuff just couldn't be helped.
It's my fault.
No, it's not. It's not even your fault. All last month I was between September and now. September we had Batman Week at GCRN where we did a bunch of different blogs on Batman. We did close to a 5-hour podcast on Batman. Did a whole bunch of stuff. This past month, October, just kind of ended earlier here in November. We did TMNT Week, which was a bunch of Turtles stuff. And now I'm diving into Bond Month, where between now and the right before Christmas, Movie Revolt Dan and I are going to review 18 of the 23 Bond films. And I've just been so busy with that and just so busy with everything else that the GCRN that we do over there, because I am pretty much, I would say, 75% of the podcasts that are over there. I really enjoyed. I mean, we'll get into it. I enjoyed watching Overdrive, but by the time I finished and by the time you finished, you had stuff going on, I had stuff going on, and we just couldn't get to it last month. It was just not possible. But this allowed us to be able to get back on our regular schedule of being able to post on the 11th of every month, having to wait this long. So
yeah, that's true.
Yep. So what's been going on with you, sir?
I don't know. It's been emotional roller coaster like the last 2 weeks. It's just been ridiculous. I was in a Greek wedding. One of my great friends got married, and he's Greek. And if you've never seen a Greek wedding, that's just ridiculous. I had a drink out of a cup. First of all, I don't like floaties. I barely ever drink after my daughters. And those are the only two people I'll ever drink after. My good buddy Abe, which is the Greek guy, he knew that I was like that. Well, they were passing this mug around, and there's a little bit left in there. And he was like, you know, one of your guys needs a drink from this. And he looks over at me and he goes, Scott. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
I was just like, it's on. So the 90,000-year-old Greek minister comes over and he's like, Scott, and he hands me this mug or this, like, I don't even know what you call this, this golden, like, I don't even know what it was.
It's a chalice. It's a chalice.
He's like, drink. And I was just like, I'm not happy with you right now. And I just drank this crap. But, yeah.
Wow, that really sucks.
Yeah, but it was a great time, though. I mean, the wedding was awesome. Yeah. The reception was awesome. And then a day later, my grandmother passes away. So it was just...
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, she was ill. She's, you know, she's in a better place now. But it was just like, oh, so happy, so sad, so happy, so sad for, like, the last 2 weeks. It's just been crazy.
Yeah, yeah. We've got the usual reply from Chaotix on the last episode. I was going to say, I don't even remember what the last episode was, but it was Mystic Force. That's right. So, he says, he had commented both on the PCN forums and over at geekcastradio.com. Fantastic episode, guys. Glad to see that you ended up enjoying Mystic Force in the end. Told you it wasn't that bad. I hope Mike's gotten used to Xander by now, because there's another plan Xander moment in Overdrive. Yeah, we'll get to that when we get to it. I didn't necessarily see Chip as the smart one, more just the nerdy one. His excitement over getting to wear a cape never ceases to amuse me. The wolf guy from Wild Forest that you were thinking of is Zanaku. Yeah, I thought of that as soon as we stopped recording episode 17 back in September. I was like, Zanaku, that's exactly who it is. I was like, bam. Definitely agree that Mystic Force's final battle scene was all kinds of epic. I think the people's echoes, cheers of We Believe in Magic, combined with the amazing background score, really added a bit of oomph to it. Also agreed that Dark Wish was a really well-done multi-parter. I wouldn't disparage RJ from Jungle Fury so soon, Scotty. He is actually one of my favorite characters from that season. And there is much more to him than his really chill persona implies.
I've seen Jungle Fury, and I could just do without his voice. He's a does get rid of the voice throughout the episode, but sometimes he's just kind of like, "What's up, bro? You know, what's up?" And it's just
it's that surfer dude talk. Yeah,
it's into being like a real. No, I love the character just fine. I could just do without the stupid fake Keanu Reeves voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's all for this month. Keep up the power packed work. A couple of things we got to go over since the last time we had an episode. Actually, Spade of the Vault Matrix, our Sentai contributor. Actually, I found this out from him. If you go on to iTunes and you search, I'm actually doing it now so I can pull it up. If you search Ron Wasserman, they released Power Rangers Redux.
Wow.
It's essentially $9.99 on iTunes. I will put the link in our post on geekcastradio.com. It's essentially a Redux version of the original Rock Adventure album. But it also includes instrumentals this time around. I think the Redux versions of the songs that were on the original Rock Adventure album, I think what it is taken out of them is the vocals, like in Go Green Ranger, you hear Jason's, or not Go Green Ranger, you hear in Go Go Power Rangers, you would hear Jason say "Back to Action" or "It's Morphin Time," or you would hear battle scenes from whatever episode the song is in. I don't think those are in these versions. I think these are just the songs.
That's pretty sweet.
So for $9.99 on iTunes, that's not that bad. And like I said, I will make sure I put the link in our post on geekcastradio.com. I still have, I don't know if it's out there. I haven't really searched for it. I've been off, you know, pursuing other interests outside of Power Rangers in between our records. I don't know if there's a full on, like, actual, not Comic-Con or convention version of a trailer for Megaforce.
No, I don't think so.
I have not seen that yet.
There isn't.
Okay. All right, well, I'm sure we'll see it eventually. What else? We've got a bunch of new iTunes reviews that we'll talk about at the end of the show. Very, very cool, and thank you to all you people. We'll review those at the end of the show. No one really replied to us about whether they like Spada's clip moved up or where it was originally, so... I don't know where it's gonna fall in this episode. It's just gonna have to depend on Scotty and I's flow of the episode, I guess. So let's get into it. For the overview, we've got Power Rangers Operation Overdrive, abbreviated as PROO. Pru.
Pro.
The R out. Yeah. Well, Pru, if you take the R out, it's poo.
Nice. About the season.
This American television program, 15th installment in the Power Rangers franchise based on the Super Sentai series Go Go Sentai Buga Ranger, which is also the 13th entry in the anniversary of that franchise. It premiered on February 26, 2007. Operation Overdrive is broadcast on Toon Disney's Jetix programming block and ABC Kids in the United States, and on the standalone Jetix networks in other countries. The program is co-production between the Walt Disney Company and Toei. It is also broadcast on the terrestrial network ITV in the UK. It's unique among Power Rangers series. Operation Overdrive has the Rangers exploring, operating, and fighting in many different countries around the world, rather than focusing only on their home city of San Angeles. In search of their objective, the Rangers have been to Atlantis, unnamed islands in the Atlantic and Pacific, St. Lucia, Istanbul, London, Portugal, Indonesia, Norway, Mexico, Egypt, Florida, Greece, and Japan. To specifically battle villainous attacks, they have visited the Rotuma Island, Australia, Brazil, and Stonehenge. This is essentially, and, you know, hopefully this is essentially Power Rangers meets Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego is what this is.
Yeah, and it wasn't that poo comment really wasn't. I was joking. It really wasn't that bad. I mean, they had a really...
No, it wasn't. I really liked Overdrive. I thought I wasn't going to like Overdrive at all.
Yeah, they had a good story. They had good characters. There wasn't too many filler episodes. They had Thor and Loki, and Thor had He-Man's shield in there for whatever reason. But, I mean, overall, it was a good season. Is it top five? No. Is it bottom five? Maybe just above that. So it's like right in the middle of you know, decent seasons.
Yeah. And for those of you who have been listening to us since episode one of this podcast, you know that Scotty and I kind of fall on two sides of a line where he absolutely loves the jungle animals and the animal stuff and absolutely can't stand the technical stuff. Where I like the technical stuff, like SPD, like this. And I like the jungle stuff, but I don't, it's not my favorite. It's, you know, the animal zords are not my favorite. I kind of like seeing how different organizations use the, you know, a military type vehicle. This one, overall, the one thing it had going for it that was really unique, other than the whole traveling around the world thing, the Red Ranger is an android.
Yeah, which completely threw me off, and I absolutely loved it.
What threw me off about it was because at one point, Mac's dad, I forget what his name is off the top of my head, I'm sure I'll see it when we get to the characters, Mac's dad says to the butler at one point, well, it's only been 2 years, and I'm thinking...
Yeah.
The dude looks like he's Andrew. 17, 18. How the hell is it only two? And then once that turn happened, I was like, holy shit. I'm sorry. Holy crap. That's, you know, that's not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. His name's Andrew. Mr. Hartford is what they called him.
Yeah. Mr. Hartford. Yeah. No, overall, I really enjoyed the series. I thought it was great.
I will say, I didn't feel it was very... I mean, it was good, but there was never a time where I was on the edge of my seat. The Sixth Ranger was kind of soft overall.
Yeah.
They've already done the whole, you're from the past. Even, I mean, with kind of like Zunaku, where on a Wild Force, where they were kind of ahead of... Not Wild Force. What was it?
Zunaku, Mystic Force.
Mystic.
No,
it was Wild Force, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wild Force.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Zunaku was Wild Force.
What was his real name? His human name?
Carrick. Merrick.
Merrick. Yeah. Well, Merrick. You know, it was just kind of the same. They already really told that story. It's kind of the same thing. He was that monster thing at first, and then the Sentai Ranger or the Sentai. What the hell's his name now? Gosh, I just finished a season like yesterday.
They've done it three times so far. They've done it with Zunaku, with Wild Force. They did it with the purple dude in Mystic Force. What's her nuts's husband?
And they also kind of did it with Zane too.
Yeah.
Zane was a teacher, but he was like from a different planet where he didn't really know a lot, and he's just kind of like, "What, huh?"
Yeah. I mean, it's repeating themes throughout, and I don't quite mind it. I didn't really care for it. I will say the one thing that kind of floored me, although I wish they would have used some of the original theme music more, was Once a Ranger.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I'm a grown 32, almost 33-year-old man, and I cried that whole episode, both those parts, every time.
It was awesome.
Just because, and it's Adam. I mean, you know, okay, sure, I can see it, you know, us as Tommy fanboys, you know, getting teary-eyed for Tommy, but I didn't even know that Adam was going to show up, and it was like, holy crap, that's awesome.
Yeah, I liked it, and I liked, because at first I was kind of like, well, now I said, now this is stupid. Now what the hell? They lost all their powers. How? And they're like, oh, you know, we tacked into the Morford grid, and they're only allowed to have their powers for X amount of time. So I was like, oh, okay. Right. At least they touched on that, and they weren't just like, hey, look, they still have their powers.
And this was where, and I know we're kind of jumping ahead before we get into the characters, and we're kind of talking about the anniversary episode because it was the 15th anniversary. This was where you had the, I think it was a different voice. I could be wrong, but this is where you had the Alpha 6, Alpha 7.
Yeah, that was definitely a different voice.
Yeah. I still love the original Alpha. I don't like any of the other ones. They're too annoying. They just don't sound.
Well, if they would have done their own voice instead of trying to mimic that Alpha, it would be a little different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course, I don't like a deep man voice, but they could have done something else besides someone at a party trying to do an Alpha voice. You know, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And why the hell did it have to be Xander? Why couldn't they? They could have.
Because
picked
I love Xander. That's why.
Other no.
Yeah, they had to do. Hey. My name's Xander. One last time, just for me.
Ugh. Hate that crap. Yeah. All right. Let's get into the Overdrive characters here. You've got Mackenzie Mac Hartford, the Red Ranger. A fan of adventure stories, his physical power is apparently superhuman strength. He is the android son of Andrew Hartford, who acts as the team's dispatcher. What did you think of Mac?
I liked him, to be honest. He was, I mean, again, I kind of felt like the whole series lacked intensity, but overall, I mean, they still did a good job. I like his character, how he ended up being an android and his character development and how he kind of just gave up on himself and he's like, screw it, you know, you guys can just rebuild me, and then come to find out that, you know, he had a heart, and, you know, I liked him. He was good.
Mm-hmm. I like Mac. Again, it's something that I have not seen in Power Rangers to this point. You know, because we see, you know, cogs and putties and, you know, whatever other robotic, you know, droids on... Droids. These are not the droids you are looking for. Move along. you know, we've seen other robotic, like putty, like villain type characters, but we've never actually seen an android that becomes a Power Ranger. And I kind of got the feeling that something was up before it was revealed when Andrew was like, no, you can't be the Red Ranger, blah, 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 blah. And I think it would be creepy as all hell if Andrew was the Red Ranger at first, if Mr. Hartford was the Red Ranger, because that would just be weird. I mean, if you were going to do an adult team of Rangers and not a teen team of Rangers, I could see it. But I'm glad that he finally, you know, realized, hey, my son can take this. You know, my son can, you know, be responsible here. So,
well, come to find out the reason why later on was, oh, now it all makes sense because he's an android. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And you have William Will Aston, the Black Ranger, a spy for hire with the physical powers of enhanced hearing and sight. Before being recruited, Will was carrying out a mission in Brazil. He is portrayed by Samuel Benta. He is often shown expressing disbelief in super mundane phenomena, such as the existence of dragons and other oracular powers of Chalice.
I liked how he became a ranger, how... Mr. Hartford actually paid him to go steal something from himself. Yeah. And he was like, wait, this is yours? And he was like, yeah, that's mine. I just wanted to make sure you could do it.
This is, I'm trying to see here. Let's see. Was this 2007? Yeah, this was, okay, yeah. Now I know. When I first watched the series and I saw this character, I was like, hey, it's a male version of Stella from The Italian Job. Back in 2003, there was a remake of the 60s version of The Italian Job,
I have no idea what that is.
The Italian, well, I'm telling you.
Oh, okay.
The Italian Job is a 2003 remake of the 1960s movie. In the 2003 remake, it stars Charlize Theron as Stella, Mark Wahlberg, and a bunch of other people. It's got Seth Green in it, and it's essentially she is a safecracker, and that's essentially what Will here is as well. When I was watching it, I was like, oh, hey, cool. I like Will, but I think it took him a little bit too long to realize that he needed to work with the team instead of just on his own.
Yeah, this team, this season focused a lot on teamwork.
Yeah,
I'd say more than any other episode. I mean, season. I apologize.
Yeah.
And if it didn't, maybe it's just me picking up on more teamwork than any other episode, because they just really pushed the teamwork envelope on this one.
They did. They really did. You then have Dax Lowe, who is the Blue Ranger, an underappreciated stunt actor and practical joker with the power to leap immense distances. Prior to becoming a Ranger, Dax was working in Hollywood. He is portrayed by Gareth Yoon. Dax was often the source of comic relief in the films. I don't care for Dax. Probably one of the worst Blue Rangers in history.
Wow. I'll probably have to. I mean, if you look at it like that, I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, but I mean, he wasn't awful, but it wasn't. He was very forgetful. You know what I mean?
He had his moments, but you've seen Wayne's World 2, right?
Yes.
Dax Lowe's entire character is how Wayne and Cassandra's father are talking when they're fighting over Cassandra.
Oh yeah.
You know that whole fake talk thing Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what Dax was the entire season here to me. I was like, really? Like, he had his, like, maybe one or two moments, like, close to the end of the season when he kind of, you know, came out of his shell. But it was just too cliched.
Yeah.
For me, anyway. What about you? Thoughts on him?
Not really. I mean, I got to agree with you. I mean, just, again, none of the Rangers really stuck out to me. I mean, they did a good job, but none of them are even in my top 10 Rangers of any color. You know what I mean? They just don't even, I mean, even the Sixth Ranger, which you know, a lot of the Sixth Rangers are my favorites. It's just like, even Tyzon's kind of like, nah.
Yeah. Next down the line, we got Veronica Ronnie Robinson, the Yellow Ranger, a confident and sometimes overtly competitive stock car racer. Her physical power is superhuman speed, which exceeds even the capacity of the eye to note. Before becoming a Ranger, Ronnie was competing in an Italian race. She is portrayed by Caitlin Murphy. Again, as we've said, generic, stereotypical. Outside of Mac, almost all of... okay, for me, outside of Mac and Rose, all of the Rangers are stereotypical Rangers out of the original five, and I'm not counting Tyzon.
Right.
Out of the original five, every one of them, the other three outside of Mac and Rose for me are all stereotypical character types. And I was like, really? You can't come up with original character traits for these people?
Mm-hmm.
Rose Ortiz. Okay, finally. A pink ranger with a brain.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Rose is probably my favorite character on the show.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that past pink rangers have not been brainy. I'm saying that usually it's the blue or yellow ranger or a Billy Trini type of thing. This time, you know, just like in Time Force, Jen was the pink ranger. She was essentially the leader once, you know, at least until they accepted Wes as their leader. Here you have Rose, who is the Pink Ranger, and she's the brains. And she's the tech girl, and she gets it and everything else. And I really, really enjoyed that. I thought it was a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon the pun. And then you have Tizon, the Mercury Ranger. I hope Spada's clip can enlighten me on this because I don't get the Mercury powers at all. I like the suit. It looks cool. But Mercury power, really?
Yeah. Pretty magical.
It's probably one of the worst six Rangers we've ever had.
Yes. That's probably very accurate.
Any thoughts on Tizon?
I'm with you. It's like, if you're going to put, I mean, it sucks because the more you talk about them, I'm like, man, yeah, I do hate this person. But like, as a team, they did good. You know what I mean? They came together.
Right. No, yes. Good. As a team, as a whole, they did good.
You're going to compare Rose, or not? Maybe not Rose. Rose, I did really like Rose. But if you're going to compare Ronnie, the Yellow Ranger, to the past Yellow Rangers, you're like, well, she can't lace their boots up. Hey, let's look at Dax as a Blue Ranger. Wow, he can't lace their boots up. Hey, let's look at Will as a Black Ranger. Yeah, he's terrible. And then, you know what I mean? It's like, but if you put them as a team, they did good as a group.
Yes, as a team, they did good as a group. But the whole Tizon thing, the whole thing with his power was like, hey, let me split my molecules up and infect people with mercury. Really? That's the way you're going? Seriously, that's the way the writers wrote this damn thing?
That's pretty sweet, huh?
It's pretty lame is what it is. That's honestly what it is. Because the first thing I thought of was, okay, lead-based paint or, you know, lead poisoning from, you know, chewing on a number two pencil. That was the first thing I thought of when I saw this character's power. I was like, yay, he can turn himself into a puddle. Really? That's your power?
That's pretty epic.
Yeah, this is very lame. For allies, you got Andrew Hartford, who is Mac's quote-unquote father and adventurer, billionaire, who created the Operation Overdrive Power Rangers to find the genius, find the gems of the Corona Aurora. I like Andrew. I like Mr. Hartford. I think I think it was a well-acted thing. I like the actor portraying him. But at the same time, it's so weird having him plus the butler. You know, Andrew to me is there for whatever financial thing they need or whatever new funding for new Zord technology, whereas the butler ends up having the more emotional moments with any of the Rangers, yeah. not just Mac.
Yeah, well, instead of Andrew or Mr. Hartford doing the being the tough guy, being the good cop and the bad cop, they just split it up. So it's like Spencer had to come in and be like, look, your dad's hard on you, but you need to believe in yourself. Instead of Mr. Hartford caving and being like, look, I love you and I'm hard on you, but you need to believe in yourself. So all I did was split it up and add another character.
Yeah. I just think that was a waste, though. I mean, have one or the other. Don't, you know. And it goes to the whole point of anyone, not just fathers and sons, but anyone having quote-unquote daddy issues of, oh, my dad's not around so much, or my dad's off doing this, not paying attention to me, etc., etc., etc. And that, for a lot of people watching this series, is probably going to, you know, if you are a person whose dad wasn't around, like, my dad, when I was younger, he was around up until the time he met his, like, my parents divorced when I was two in 82. My dad and I visited each other once a week till about 87 when I was seven. He met his then girlfriend. They got married. They then moved down here to Kentucky. And then obviously I didn't see him that much. So, I mean, overall in my life, my dad hasn't been there that much. So I can see someone like me having a past like that where that would affect them watching this series. But at the same time, I don't think it was needed. I just don't. And then, you know, getting to the end, both Andrew and Spencer try to reassure Mac of, oh, you are more than the sum of your parts. You know?
Yep.
I don't know. Any thoughts on Mac? or not Mac,
Spencer,
Andrew
and Spencer. Yeah, I feel you. I mean,
Spencer, I liked. He was comical. He was snarky. I thought he was cool. It's showing a slightly different side. Essentially, this is almost, even though it has nothing to do with dinosaurs, it's this series is essentially Dino Thunder Lite. Because if you take Trent Mercer, not Trent, Anton Mercer and Andrew Hartford, and just give Anton a butler, it's essentially the same damn character.
I almost just hung up this phone on you for comparing crappy-ass Overdrive to Dino Thunder. You must fell down and hit your head on something on the way in.
I'm not saying... I'm saying the characters. I'm not saying the series.
I know what you're saying. I hear
you. Saying the characters.
I hear you. No, I agree, though, that... what's his name? Rod Loisius did a great job of acting for Mr. Hartford.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And then you got the Sentinel Knight, who is the original Guardian of the Corona Aurora.
Big fan.
I like him. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Big fan. I just took the Mercury Ranger out, and in my brain, the Sentinel Knight is the Sixth Ranger.
Yep. Very awesome. I like how they're bridging the gap. Essentially, with this being the 15th episode or 15th anniversary with this season, they bridge the gap with a majority of all generations of Rangers with the replacement Rangers or the retro Rangers between Adam from Mighty Morphin and Tori from Ninja Storm and Kira from Dino Thunder. Bridge from Time Force and sadly Xander from Mystic Force. I almost said Magic Force. What the hell?
Well, you're pretty close.
Yeah. and then you have the Alpha 6, which we talked about, and then you got Vela, which is essentially is Tyson's fiance, a Mercurian and fellow member, survivor of the intergalactic search and rescue team of which Tyson was also a member. She wasn't there much, so I don't have any.
Like the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to point something out towards the end. Towards the end when we're almost done.
All right. Well, we're done with the allies. Did you have anything for the allies?
No. I mean, I guess I wouldn't really consider those Rangers allies. I would consider the allies like the Sentinel Ranger. Sentinel Knight, Spencer, and Mr. Hartford, and also my boy, the Yeti, Norg.
it's going to take us into the villains, because in Power Rangers Operation Overdrive, there are four competing factions of villains that the Rangers must battle in order to prevent them from acquiring the Corona Aurora's five gems. You have Flurious, the master villain thrives in sub-zero climate on a glacier surrounded by foot soldiers called the Chillers.
Flurious was, I didn't really like Flurious. He reminded me too much of the ice guy from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, like Claymation show.
Yeah.
And then plus, I could not stand his stupid mustache. I hated it. So the hatred for his mustache went into the character. So he must have done a good job, because I was wishing he was dead every time he talked or I seen him. It was also mean to my boy Norge.
Yeah, he was mean to Norg. I liked Flurious. I think that between him and his brother, which we'll talk about here in a minute, they're essentially useless villains here. There's no real plan between either one of them. You want to talk about your boy Norg?
I mean, there's not too much to say. I mean, I wish I could compare him to another character and another series, but I don't know who I would compare him to. But he was just like, he was obviously a Yeti. He was known as Flurious's lap dog a few different times throughout the series. But he's pretty much just like a gopher that was always trying to impress Flurious. And every time he finally did something good, Flurious would just send him off like, "Oh well, you suck. You know, it's about time you finally done something. Get out of my face."
I would almost compare him to, briefly, probably Piggy from SPD, but only because I would only compare Norg and Piggy together because they have the same character where they both
That's fair.
Where they eventually want to do good. The only difference is Norg doesn't betray his friends.
That's very fair. That's very fair.
And then you have Moltor, the brother of Florius, must live under conditions of extreme heat and thus dwells in a volcano. He was originally human until his attempt to steal the Corona Aurora, which transformed him into a demon filled with fire and reptiles, mainly consisting of the bipedal lava lizards. He was frozen solid and shattered by Florius when he turned to the latter for refuge. He is voiced by Mark Ferguson. These brothers are essentially completely useless. A sibling rivalry for villains that makes no damn sense to me whatsoever. You just don't. And both of them end up getting destroyed in the end.
Of course they do.
I mean, that.
Yeah. Whatever. I could have done without Moltor. I mean, or Moltor. He did all right. There was nothing that was, like, stuck out about him that I could be like, you know what was good about him? So, whatever.
So then you have Kamdor, the armored ninja working with Miratrix, who lived inside her necklace until being freed by a machine that was stolen by Will. He creates and enlarges the monsters working for him. He's essentially a Finster with armor.
Well, plus he's a badass, though.
He is a badass, yes.
So Finster was like a sissy nanny, and Kamdor was a man's man. I liked how he was in her necklace for so long.
Yeah. But. I thought that was cool. And I like that the villain or one of the villains of the series ends up having a rivalry with a different Ranger other than Red Ranger.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, throughout the series, I kind of felt like Black Ranger was the leader. He was always like the tough one that went out by himself to do the fighting when usually that was the Red Ranger. There was many of episodes where the Black Ranger where Will went off by himself to take on so and so or to even up this or to even up that, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like he's obviously not the leader because Red's always the leader, but it right. kind of felt like Will was definitely second in charge.
Yeah. And then you got Miratrix, an evil ninja who co-leads the third faction of villains. She's the ally and servant of Kamdor. Until her failures to defeat the Power Rangers convince him to abandon her as useless. He then imprisons her in the same jewel in which he was held captive, and is not known what happened to her after Kandor's destruction, although Florius and Will are shown saying that Miratrix died with Kandor. It is suggested that she had learned of the Corona Aurora's existence in the then proceeding hunt for its gems through Dax, whom she had seduced, and was portrayed by Rhea Vendiverse, I guess. I liked her. She's all right. She's not the hottest thing in the world to look at. But she was okay. But she essentially turned into a servant.
Yeah.
Which was,
It was fine.
Then you got Mig, a green alien feline who, with the assistance of fellow fear cat Cheetar, attempted to free his kind from the mirror in which they were all sealed. After being defeated by the Rangers, he was revived by Florius, who used his powerful gyros to turn him into a cyborg. He was later destroyed by Tizon, the Mercury Ranger. He was voiced by Kelson Henderson. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks since I watched Overdrive. I don't remember this character at all.
Well, he was part of the two fear cats that were in the entire, pretty much the entire thing. Because I'm pretty sure they got destroyed pretty early in the series, and I was like, well, that was stupid. They could have went a long way. But then they came back, and it was like the Fear Cats was – they were pretty much Tizon's guys.
Enemies.
Yeah, they were pretty much Tizon's enemies. But no, I like the Fear Cats.
I like the Fear Cats too. I think they're great. They're very awesome. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that whole. And again, it seems like, once we get to Spada's clip, we'll find out. But I don't know what happened in the Sentai to the point of why the American series has these guys against those guys and those guys against the... It's like they're trying to get four shows into one with Tyson has his own villains. The Rangers have theirs. Flurious and Moltor are essentially fighting each other because of sibling rivalry. And then you've got Miratrix and can't... This suffers from too many villains is what it really does.
Yeah, there is a crap ton. And then the Fearcats also have Bangalow. He comes in. They bring him in. So there's actually three Fearcats throughout the deal. But yeah, I really love their fits.
Yeah, I thought the Fearcats were awesome. I really did. I thought that was a really cool thing there. And then this is all kinds of continuity hell here. In the Once a Ranger, the villain of that is Thrax, the son of Rid Repulsa and Lord Zedd. He returned to seek revenge against the Sentinel Knight for imprisoning him in Space Dumpster. He temporarily united the four factions and successfully severed the Overdrive Ranger's connection to the Morphing Grid. He got destroyed by a newly re-energized Sentinel Knight. He was betrayed by Glenn Levy. Okay, when the hell in the last 15 seasons, or 14 seasons, whatever, when the hell did Rita and Zedd have a kid?
See, this is how I kind of figure it. They must have banged as soon as they met, because there's no way that dude, because when did Zedd come in? Season 2? And this is season 15, so that's 14 years ago. There's no way that you're going to tell me that Thrax is a 14-year-old. Either that or he ages like E.T., where it's just like, you know, like maybe it's dog years. It's like every year is like seven years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's obviously storyline, so they're not like, you know.
Right, and I mean, just kind of like, that's, you know, interesting.
It's definitely nitpicking, and you love nitpicking, but this time I'm going to agree with you because it was kind of dumb.
Oh, I mean, it's not even a nitpick. It's a legitimate problem with the continuity of the American Power Rangers franchise, where when the hell did this happen?
Right.
Now, if the listeners or if the people that are going to comment on Geekcast Radio or in the Pop Culture Network forums, if you guys have theories, let us know. We'll read them in the next episode because, honestly...
Well, there can't be a theory. He's either 14 years old or
No, but what I'm saying is if the listeners have theories on when it happened, on how it happened, is what I'm saying.
But they met at season 2, right?
Yes, they met at season 2. They hated each other. She put the spell on him.
Well, so, I mean, I guess technically SPD was in the future, so we don't actually know when this is because this is after that, but now they're back.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, technically this could be, you know... I don't know.
Yeah, write in, people. Let us know what you think. And then you get the Chillers and the Lava Lizards. I like the Chillers better. I thought they were way better than the Lava Lizards.
Either way.
Okay. All right. let's get into the arsenal. The Overdrive Tracker. The Overdrive Tracker is the morpher for Operation Overdrive. It is a fully functional cell phone equipped with multiple additions. A black light that can decode hidden messages. The Turbo Wheel, which allows the Rangers to execute commands. And an extra keypad buttons to be used for summoning their various Zords. The morphing call is Overdrive Accelerate in order for the Rangers to morph. The triple wheel must be spinning when the morphing call is uttered. This is usually done by running it down the arm or any available surface like a sword. I hate this thing.
I knew you were going to say that.
This is the dumbest thing ever. Okay. I take Dino Thunder. It's essentially a key. You flip your wrist, you grab the key, you put it, you know, you insert it into the other hole. Okay, I get that. This is a thing that has a wheel that you have to either drag down a surface, whether it's your arm, whether it's a sword, whether it's a skateboard ramp. This is just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were hitting it off whatever they could find to morph.
Exactly.
Yeah. I liked their morphing sequence. I'm not against or really for the tracker. I did like how – I also hated it sometimes. I did like how it had multiple functions, though, because it was like a light. It was a scanner. It was just all kinds of different stuff through different seasons. That way, instead of just having a morpher that serves one purpose. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't, and I also liked how they wore it on their arm and where they wore it. I know you don't like how the wheel spins, but it's like it's perfect. They grabbed it. It was already in place. Boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love the morphing sequence that happens after. I think that's really cool. But the whole activation of the morpher in order to become the Rangers, that's really what's getting me.
I wish they would have done more with the wheels, because I did like how their suits were like in a briefcase, like in a almost like an Iron Man case.
Yeah,
I really did like that. I wish they would have done something a little bit more with that. I don't know what. I guess I haven't thought about it in the detail, but I really liked it.
Yeah. The Mercury Morpher. This is the Morpher. Wrist-worn Morpher allows Tizon to become the Mercury Ranger. It has a rotatable bezel and LCD screen like the other Rangers. His morphing call is Overdrive Accelerate. He activates the Morpher by pushing a button. I like this one. I think it's kind of cool. I don't know. A lot of the times, I don't have a lot of opinions on the morphers because they're just what gets them to do the morphing sequence and gets them in the suits. I mean, I don't know. It's like, you know, okay, you've got a morpher and then you usually have a weapon. Usually I would like the weapon more than the actual morpher.
Yeah. Zip shooter.
The zip shooter. Oh, boy. This is essentially a zip line. Parachute flare signal. I guess it's cool. I don't remember. It's been a few weeks since I've seen everything in the series, so I'm not. My brain has turned to mush by this point.
They didn't use it a lot.
Yeah, that's what I figured, because if they had used it more than once or twice, I probably would have remembered it better. Then you got the shark. Special Hydro Aerial Recon Craft. The Shark, which was built by Andrew Hartford, is a sleek-looking jet-like vehicle. It is capable of great speed in the air and on the water and is the Ranger's primary mode of transportation. The Shark is driven primarily by Ronnie the Yellow Ranger. Now, why does she get to drive?
I don't know.
I like the Shark. I think it's cool. I don't know. Thoughts?
No. Not necessarily.
The control console drivers used by the Rangers to control their Drive Mac Zords, they collapse into suitcase-like form and then expand when inserted into the control panels of the Zords. They all have a steering wheel and two gear sticks within their confines. Thoughts on the control console drivers?
That's the thing I was talking about earlier. It wasn't too bad. I liked it.
I liked it. I thought it was cool, but it, again, I don't know if it's because Ronnie was a race car driver in the series, but it just reminded me of every time they get into the Zords, oh, hey, we got to bring our steering wheels with us.
Right.
You know, and what if one of them left their steering wheel at home?
Where exactly did they carry these while they were fighting before?
Exactly. It's kind of like Optimus Prime's trailer. Where does it go?
Well, if you watch Robot Chicken, you'd know where it went.
Yeah. And then you get the Drive Defender, the personal sidearm for the Rangers. The Drive Defender features both a blaster mode and a saber mode. Each Ranger possesses his or her own weapon. The Red Ranger wields the Drive Lance, a spear with a retractable blade. The Black Ranger wields the Drive Slammer, a giant sledgehammer that resembles a drive shaft. The Blue Ranger wields the Drive Vortex, a handheld fan that can create strong winds. Here, let me blow you away. Just goes to show how pathetic the Blue Ranger is in this series. The Yellow Ranger wields a Drive Claws, two handheld bulldozer implements.
So stupid.
So
dumb.
It is. So dumb.
So dumb.
The Pink Ranger wields the Drive Geyser, a powerful water-based gun. Unlike the other Rangers' weapons, the Drive Geyser is not made to look like any specific part of the vehicle's chassis. Instead, this weapon resembles a miniature version of the Subdriver. It can launch a powerful, concentrated flow of water. So, essentially, it's a Super Soaker.
Yes.
Seriously?
That looks kind of like a jet ski to me. It always looked like a jet ski. Google it.
The weapons... The weapons for the Rangers in this series, outside of like the lance and the sabers and the guns, these weapons all suck.
Even the lance sucked. What happened to the Red Ranger sword?
Yeah. It's like,
this is the second or third time that the Red Ranger hasn't had his sword, right? Because there was another one that we came up with.
Yeah, I forget which one that
was. Or maybe I'm confused, and it was Sentai. It was one of Spada's clips that gave us the first time that the Red Ranger didn't have a sword. I don't quite remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But these weapons in this series were either inserted into the series because of toys, or they were made for the series so toys could be made. That's all it's for.
Well, no one, not even girls, are like, you know what I want? Bobcat backhoe things for my hands. You know what was worse than all those? The Mercury Rangers.
The drive detector.
Yes, the metal detector.
Lance Blaster and metal detector. Oh my god.
So dumb.
And then other weapons, you've got the Defender Vest and Drill Blaster, Protective Vest and Two-Ended Blaster weapon that can be used by any Ranger. One end based on cemented drive. So essentially, it's toy. It's weapons to create toys for the line, and it's construction equipment.
It was SWAT mode.
Oh my god! At least SWAT mode had a purpose.
Yeah, SWAT mode was actually really cool.
Yeah, the civilian vehicles. The Rangers use these vehicles in pre-battle before they are morphed. Dax, Blue Ranger, Ronnie, Yellow Ranger, and Will Black Ranger pilot their own personal ATVs. Or motorcycles, while Rose, the Pink Ranger, Mac, the Red Ranger, and Tizon, the Mercury Ranger, and any other allies traveling with them, such as Spencer or Andrew, travel in a Humvee. Again, this is essentially combining series. The Humvee, hello, Lightspeed Rescue.
Right.
You know, the ATVs, Ninja Storm, anybody? I don't know if all this stuff was inserted here to pay homage to the last 15 years at this point of Power Rangers or what, but essentially this series with the weapons, with the vehicles, it's essentially copying or similar copies of every other series vehicles.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they were going for. It's like, you know, why, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We've had past success. Hey, let's do this, this, and this and see how it works.
Yeah. And then you get the HoverTech cycle. The HoverTech cycle, developed by Hartford Industries exclusively for the Black Ranger, it can transform into a helicopter-type vehicle and is equipped with the powerful lasers used for land and air combat. Any thoughts on the HoverTech cycle?
I didn't really care for it. I don't know. I don't know why I had pink on it. I mean, I'm not against pink. I just couldn't figure out why it was. I mean, it was black because it was the Black Rangers, but why was it pink?
It's a girly mobile.
Yeah.
Then you got the Transtech armor, high-powered machine that can be piloted by any of the Rangers. Its default mode is a four-wheeled vehicle mode, which destroys monsters with its claws, but can also change into a freestanding mech configuration, which can fire powerful energy blasts as a finisher. Transtech armor. I don't remember the Transtech armor.
Okay, the Transtech armor is that goofy-ass, stupid thing that it was like an exosuit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it kind of looked like, have you ever seen Claudia with a Chance of Meatballs?
No.
Okay. I didn't like it. Here, let me.
Exosuit. So it's kind of like Daniel from Transformers the movie.
Yeah, it's bigger than that. It's like a car with legs is what it looked like. I can't.
Right. Okay. I got you. Yeah.
Every time I got it, and I was like, oh, I hate that thing.
Then you got the Sentinel Sword. When the Sentinel Knight merged with the Sword Excelsior, it gave him the power to transform into a sword mode, which the Rangers are able to carry with them.
Big fan.
You like this thing?
Absolutely. Liked it.
Okay. All right. I can get on board because the way I see the Sentinel Knight and the Sentinel Sword is the Sentinel Knight is King Arthur and the Sentinel Sword is Excalibur. That's the way I see it.
I'm with you.
So, I like that. And then because of the Sentinel Sword, you have the Red Sentinel Ranger. Matt can use the Sentinel Sword in special morpher that resembles a red version of the Mercury Morpher. To merge with the Sentinel Knight and become the Red Sentinel Ranger, the face of the Sentinel Knight is hidden in the chest plate and is able to talk.
So it's pretty much a powered up Red Ranger.
It's a battleizer for Mac, yes.
And for the first time, I'll say I like this one. I could deal without the Sentinel having his own opinion in the chest, but he looked badass. And then he had the sword mode. The swords came off the back, and I was a big fan of it. At least they weren't roller blades. Could be worse.
I like the design of this thing, but the fact that the chest opens up and the Sentinel Knight's head is in there, that's just creepy as all hell. That's just creepy. All right, so let's move on to the artifacts here. We've got both the Ranger and the villains travel the world in search of the Corona Jewels. To aid them, they must uncover special relics that serve as clues in the lead lost that lead to the lost jewels. The Corona Aurora is a crown resembling that worn in medieval Europe, but claimed to be of divine origin. It is also commonly called the Crown of the Gods. To prevent its capture to those of negative interest, the Sentinel Knight scattered the crown's jewels across the earth. At the opening of the film series, the crown was in Andrew's possession, from which it was stolen by Moltor. Following the destruction of Moltor's lair, the ownership of the crown passed to Florius, etc., etc., etc. Essentially, this thing is the Matrix of Leadership of Power Rangers.
Yep.
I don't have any real thoughts. I mean, I like the design on it, I guess. I mean, I don't really have any thoughts. I don't really have any thoughts on any of these artifacts. I mean, I don't know about you, but did you have anything on any of the artifacts that you wanted to talk about?
Not necessarily. There was nothing that, I don't know. I liked the idea of it, but I mean, I don't know. I liked how they had to go to all the different places and,
right.
And I liked, cause there was, for all the bad stuff in this, there was some really good stuff in this too. And this is some of the stuff that I liked.
Yeah.
I liked how they went to all those different places. You know, I liked how they had to solve some different riddles. I liked how they had clues. You know what I mean? It made for a lot less filler episodes, even though they were kind of all, you know, filler episodes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I liked how all the jewels, you know, they were trying to fight for the jewels. It reminded me a lot of Nicolas Cage movie is Lost Treasure. What the hell is that movie called?
National Treasure.
National Treasures, where, you know, they were kind of going for the same jewel, and it was kind of neat, you know. I mean, they were both fighting for the same jewels throughout the series. So I liked it.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Zords, as we often do.
Blah.
First of all, what?
Blah.
This might be the one series that we agree on the Zords. First of all, the name, Drive Max Zords. Drive Max, really? That's because it's kind of like, ooh, maximum overdrive. It's you got the dump diver, the speed driver, the gyro driver, the dozer driver, and the sub driver for the primary Drive Max Zords. None of these are interesting to me at all.
The only thing I liked about this entire thing is how they could do the arm switching. I do enjoy the arm switching. But yeah. Overall, I hated it. Hated it. And like when they got on the giant ship thing, like the carrier Zord, I can't think of what the hell it's called now. I just wanted to fast forward.
The battle fleet, yeah.
Battle fleet. Yeah. Ugh.
They also have auxiliary Drive Max Zords, the drill driver, the shovel driver, the cement driver, the crane driver, and the sonic streaker. Okay, so Power Rangers that are construction workers, nice. Rescue runners, 3, 2, 1. Battle fleet, drive commander, drive carrier, drive fighter, drive attacker, and drive roller. The Drive Max Megazord, did you have any thoughts on the Drive Max Megazord?
Nope. About the same.
I like some of the... What I liked about the Zords is, as each Zord was introduced, what I liked about it was hey, here's Zords 1 through 5. Here's 6 through 10. Here's 11 to 15. Here's 16 to 20.
I do like the numbering.
I like that. I thought that was cool. And I like the overall, the big, you know, Gestalt and big all combine everything Zord. I like that. But a Megazord is supposed to do something. A Megazord is supposed to inspire awesomeness. And I'm sorry, this series doesn't do that.
Hmm.
At all. I mean, it just doesn't.
What is Bruticus? That's what it is. It's Bruticus from Transformers.
Oh, Bruticus? He's the Combaticon.
Right, that's this. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Power.
Although Bruticus is much better.
Yeah, I agree. Bruticus should have made an appearance.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so we're gonna head to Spada's Clip and see what's going on with the Sentai, and we'll come back after this.
Hey, folks, Spada the Bolt Matrix here, and today we are talking about Bokenger, airing from February 19, 2006 to February 11th of 2007. Gogo Sentai Bokenger marked the 30th anniversary entry into the Super Sentai franchise. Powerful relics from the past called Precious had begun to appear around the world. In order to prevent these dangerous items from falling into the nefarious hands of the negative syndicates, the Search Guard Successor Foundation was formed. SGS Foundation is a non-government organization that gathers lost Precious from around the world. To that end, they have created the Bokenger. Bokenger is based mostly on treasure hunting and the adventures that come with it. The series also brings some unique ideas to the forefront, such as different villain factions interwoven throughout the series. Sadly, by the end of the series, there are so many open-ended plot threads that it kind of makes the series feel overly wasted and not a lot of time spent closing up these plot threads. The Rangers themselves are a mix of different Sentai character types. Serious-slash-job-focused red, rebellious black, smart guy blue, clumsy yellow, and stoic pink, and then later, tragic backstory silver. But thankfully, by the series' end, the viewer understands what shaped these characters into the people they are now. If the different character types sound like they've been used before, that's because each ranger was based on a ranger from the past. Red and pink are based off their counterparts from the very first Sentai, Himetsu Sentai Gorenje. Black and yellow were based on their counterparts from the 15th Sentai, Chojin Sentai Jetman. Boken Blue is based off of Battle France from the 3rd Sentai, Battle Fever J. And Boken Silver is based on Burai, the Dragon Ranger, minus the murderous antagonism from Koryu Sentai Juranger. The villains, however, are just kind of mostly there. There are four main villain groups that make up the Negative Syndicate: the Godom Civilization, the Jaryu Clan, Dark Shadow, and the Questers. Each main villain of these groups, or the leader of the groups, were based on, albeit very loosely, old mecha from the past series. Good luck guessing which ones were based on what, as nobody's been able to nail that one down. Now, the Godom Civilization is an ancient and dead race, an ancient Earth civilization, led by the High Priest Gaja, who is awakened from his slumber by archaeologists and decides to resurrect his lost empire. The Jaryu Clan is a tribe of genetically engineered dragon men. Dark Shadow is a ninja clan which steals precious purely to sell them for profit. And the Questers are originally two members of the demonic Ashu tribe, sworn enemies of Eiji and his family. Then they were resurrected by the Godom civilization and given cybernetic bodies, and then they were set up by Dark Shadow, and then the remains after they were destroyed were combined into mechs, and they are really, really weird, but they're pretty much just evil cat people. Bokenger does have a few firsts, however. It was the first series to have multiple different villains in the same series. It was the first time that 9 and 10 different mechs combined into one robot, and is the first and so far only series to have more than one set of foot soldiers. So there were like 4 or 5 different versions of putties for that series. The series is not free of falling into Sentai tropes, however. Some classics include yelling the names of the attacks, the secret organization that nobody seems to know about, and the mechanic trope. The mechanic trope is the one character that stays back at base and fixes and builds all the mechs. But it's really weird because, you know, I would think more than one person would need to be able to fix these giant robots. But the one trope used most egregiously has to be the all the myths are true trope. That's the fairy tales, legends, etc. are all completely true. Why? Because plot reasons, that's why. Overall, Bokenger was only okay. It did pretty well in Japan, and it was one of the higher or middle-higher grossing series of the 90s. The mecha was cool, the suits were neat, and the weapons were unique, and the Rangers themselves were good callbacks to the Rangers of the past. Where the series falls short, though, are the villains and the sheer number of filler episodes. There were something like 10 to 15, and maybe even 20, complete filler episodes that had nothing to do with the plot or character development. There just wasn't much to the series as a whole. It was kind of like Sailor Moon. You could take the entire series and cut it down to just a couple of episodes. But those episodes were fun and are worth a look if you get the chance. So I've been Spade of the Bolt Matrix, taking a look at Gogu Sentai Bokenger. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/BoltMatrix. You can yell at me at Twitter at twitter.com/BoltMatrix. And check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/BoltMatrixReviews. I'll catch you guys next time, and let's go back to the command center.
Thank you once again, Spada, for giving us that insight to Bokenger. I believe that's how he pronounced it. They essentially copied it for the American version?
Well, no, because I thought he was saying that the regular Rangers were supposed to be past Rangers.
Right.
Well, that's not how this is. And I was kind of confused. Was it... what's he mean? Like, the Rangers actually came back and played another part? Or...
No, I think he means that they were supposed to be...
It's kind of like... Gokaiger, then, where they kind of they resemble their powers and they kind of have their mechs, but they just couldn't figure out what mechs go with where.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. But as always, we appreciate Spada's hard work in putting together that Sentai clip. The early working title for this series for the American version was Power Rangers Drive Force, but was later changed to Relic Hunters, and then Operation Overdrive.
I might have refused to watch it if it was Relic Hunters. We might have went right to Jungle Fury.
If it had, if the series had Tia Carrera in it, I'd watch it. She was on Relic Hunter anyway. Cassandra.
Goofy.
You know, the sad thing is now I have to put in one of the Cassandra songs from Wayne's World into this episode.
Put the first one she played when Wayne was there.
Yeah. Early pre-production, July 26, 2006, the series logo was posted on a fan message board called Funero Board? The same logo was later featured on the Disney website, rangersecrets.com, as part of the preview for the series. The logo is very similar to that of the parent series, Bokenger, in the basic design and format. I honestly like the logo. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it was nice. And I like their suits.
Yeah. I like their suits.
How was the song? What do you think about that song?
We'll get to that.
All right.
after we talk about the seasons and the season and the end, the synopsis and the episode, we'll get to the music. So for the overall synopsis, pretty much the whole point is they have to find the jewels for the Corona Aurora and reunite that and stop the villains and everything else. Do you have any favorite episodes from this season?
What is the Hammer episode, War of the Hammer?
Okay.
Where Thor's in it with He-Man's shield. That's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a point in that where he's blocking lightning or something, maybe from Loki or something.
Yeah.
That shield looks just like He-Man's shield.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yes.
I think that's Home and Away. the two-parter Home and Away. I think that's what that
is. No, because that's where they're looking for the hammer. It's got hammer in the title. Hold on a second. I was grabbing a water.
Oh, it's Hammer Time. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, and that's the episode. Obviously the Always a Ranger episodes were yeah. sweet.
Yeah. Once a Ranger, yeah.
Yeah. Before we get too far ahead, I want to point out, and this isn't the only series to do it, but it's kind of like, I know I refer to wrestling a lot, but it's kind of like what wrestling does when they have a pre-main event, and then they put a mm-hmm. crappy women's match in there, and then they go to the main event. But sometimes the main event isn't as good as the pre-main event. So, like, right. Let's see, what episode would it have been? Maybe Home and Away. No. Yeah, I guess Home and Away, where they start building up to where that statue comes alive, where they get a hold of that statue, the bad guys, and then they make it big, and then they put that piece on it. And I'm like, okay, they could put this over like 4 or 5 episodes and make this really good. But instead, they end up killing that thing in one episode, and then have 2 poop episodes, and then go back into the finale. I just really wish they wouldn't do that. Why don't we just build instead of just having a 2-parter? Have like a 3 or 4-parter, and take out that crap. Cut episode or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Where they're looking into Mac's brain.
Yeah.
We could have totally done without that.
Yeah, we could have.
I think it was Way Back When. We could have got rid of Way Back When and ran with Home and Away, Home and Away 2, 2 Fallen Foes, Nothing to Lose, and Crown of Punishment.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And it's not just the series that's done it. There's been multiple series that have done it, but it just kind of like, nah, I wish you wouldn't do that. Because it's like, oh, God, this is getting really good. I wish I could. I want to say it was, which ones had the Dark Rangers in it?
Oh.
That wasn't, I know, it wasn't SPD. Was it Time Force? No, it was the guy that had the guy that was in, like, Nomad or whatever, like, or the, with Russell.
Ecliptor, it was in space.
In space. Yeah, yeah. Like, that was building up to be a huge, huge ending, and then they were just like, ah, look, you're dead. They put him on trading cards or whatever, and then, like...
Yeah, that was in space.
It was like, look, you're dead, and then now we're just gonna have a crappy episode and then go into this end episode that's not as good as the last 2 episodes. But...
Yeah. And again... Looking at some of these episode titles, this series took it as a joke. The underwater world. That's essentially Kevin Costner's water world.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not, at all cost.
It's Hammer Time.
It's Hammer Time, face to face, behind the scenes, out of luck.
Well, I think they were just trying to keep it simple and lighthearted. That's why they didn't have any intensity in the Rangers.
Yeah.
No times did any of the Rangers snap off and just like badass mode, you know. I think they were just kind of going lighthearted with the entire series, and that kind of that's what kind of affects me, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, eh. You know, there's a lot of good things about this season. There's a lot of bad things. So it's like, that's why it's like it's the season's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So the music. I remember saying in past episodes when we got to this episode that the theme song I liked was the chorus, Operation Over. As I watched it, I found myself liking the entire theme more. It isn't one that I would listen to on a regular basis at all, but I came to enjoy it more than I enjoyed the Mystic Force theme.
I hate it. It's terrible. I don't like it whatsoever. And the Mystic Forces, they're equally terrible. You know what's not terrible? Jungle Fury.
We'll have to wait until I get to that. I haven't got to that one yet. I'm too busy being a MI6 agent over there in England. Anyway, getting into the reception and legacy and toys and all that stuff. Do you have any of the Overdrive toys?
Nope.
Do you want to get
nope.
it? Not at all?
Nope. Not one of them. Usually there's something where I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to look at that and I'm going to see about that. because I'm still looking for the Titan Megazord from Mystic Force, because that thing was, I still like that thing. That was badass. But
yeah,
I can honestly say I mean if I caught the figures, all six of the figures at a toy show, and they were complete for a decent price, I might pick them up just to have them because I like having the sets like that. But I would never. I don't want any of the Megazords. I definitely don't want any of the. I don't want the Morpher. I don't want. It was just better off if I just don't even bother with this crap.
I don't know.
Force Hammer and He-Man Shield.
I don't know if I know currently. Shout Factory is only up to Lost Galaxy in their DVD releases, their new DVD releases. I don't know if when the DVD rights were still with Disney, I don't know if Disney ever released volume sets of Overdrive on DVD. But, you know, $8 a month, go on Netflix, you can watch it there. I would say if you're one of those Power Rangers historians that love seeing the team-up episodes, watch the Once a Ranger two-parter.
Yeah, definitely. You can find that on YouTube.
Well, yeah, but, you know.
I'm saying if they don't have Netflix and they're not going to watch the entire series, just YouTube it.
Yeah, that's true.
It's definitely worth watching. I mean, hell, the series is probably, you know, worth watching. Am I going to ever watch it again? No.
No.
No, for sure not. There's no way in hell. But it's just, there's other stuff to watch. You know, that I would like to rewatch other than this.
Yep. All right, so we're going to go to an ad break. You're going to hear some other ads from GCRN and PCN and all that good stuff. And we'll come back for our final thoughts and a note from Chaotix about this season. So we'll be back after this.
Greetings. This is T. Geiston with my personal review on Power Rangers Mystic Force. At the time of this recording, I am now in the middle of Operation Overdrive. Anyways, first off, I would like to say thank you for not playing my first voicemail. That was a bit of a cluster F word for me. anyways, on to the review. Mystic Force, in my opinion, is good. It is underrated for what it was. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, or as people stated, but, again, opinions are opinions. I kind of like the Morphers in a way, like, yeah, I know it's kind of silly that they're cell phones, but, I mean, come on. What else could you have done to hide a wand? Exactly. The daughter's name, Necrolite's daughter's name was actually Lily, or Lele, one of the two. Like my favorite character was, for the season was, V, Necrolite, and then the Sphinx Terror. Mostly because, like, those three. Anyways, the Zords I found really cool, and like the whole Rangers turning into the Zords. That was a pretty cool concept for Mystic Force and Magi Ranger and all that stuff. And yeah, Spada, this is for you. Mystic Force wasn't that bad. Alright? It could have been worse. It could have been Turbo. Alright? So, yeah. One of the other characters I liked was Udonna. I don't know why I just liked her. Probably because, like, she is the second White Ranger leader character. Next to Delphina or whatever the Quechan White Ranger's name was. And this was also the first series in which we seen the kind of return of Rita Repulsa, who was later renamed Mystic Mother. I thought that was kind of cool, of how they brought back Rita in some way, shape, or form. And that is actually part Sentai, too. Like, that's the same actress who played Rita and Bandora in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Now, there is, unfortunately, nothing else I can say on Mystic Force. Outreach and Overdrive, yeah, I know what you mean by how bad that theme music sucked. But I mean, Mystic Force, at least for the beginning part of the theme song, it wasn't that bad. Like, it just added like a sense of mystery, and then it gets ruined with the lyrics. But yeah. Yeah, overall, Mystic Force was a good series. Mystic Force is a good series. Overdrive is, so. Yeah, anyways. Mystic Force is a good series. I did like the cast, mostly because in some way, shape, or form, they were all relatable to a person that you probably hang out with in real life. Like V is the music loving one who is like always one who likes to keep the party moving, and all that kind of, like, all the characters are relatable in what we should perform. This has been my personal review of Mystic Force, and this is T. Geiston signing off.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
We're back here from the command center, and my final thoughts on Overdrive. I enjoyed it for the story. That's pretty much it. The story and Once a Ranger. The Zords sucked. The characters suck. For the most part. Not really that great of a series at all. On the other hand, I can watch this more than I can watch Mystic Force. What about you?
If I had to pick, I would probably pick Mystic Force. I really did like the story, though. It just lacked a few things, you know, overall. I did really enjoy the Red Ranger, Mac. His story, how, you know, he ended up being an android and why his father didn't. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of really, really awesome things, and there's a lot of really, really bad things. So it's just like they just wash each other out. So it's kind of like just a decent series. It's not, it's definitely not, you know, not top five. It's probably not even the top 10 if I had to list them, but, you know, it's worth watching. If you're a Power Ranger fan, it's obviously worth watching.
Yeah. And of course, as always, when we can remember to do it, Chaotix has written in about his thoughts on Overdrive. Absolutely lackluster. The serial storytelling with each episode building upon the last one in a continuous arc was a great idea. And the first episodes were great, but after that it starts to go downhill. The cast have absolutely no chemistry, weak acting skills. The Black Ranger even stole the poster that was to be auctioned off for charity at the first Power Morphicon. What a friggin' jerk. They juggle around so many villains.
Is that real?
Apparently so.
The Black Ranger even stole the poster that was to be auctioned off at the charity at the first Morphicon. Oh my god. I'm going to have to look into that.
What a friggin' jerk. They juggle around so many villains that some become underused and the theme song is absolutely terrible. You think the Voltron Force theme is bad? Oh ho ho, you ain't seen nothing yet. However, the team-up was great. Awesome to see Adam and Alpha 6 back in action. The in-jokes are awesome. The only weak part is that the Overdrive Rangers are in it. Mm. Norg was fun, and the production values and sets continue to be superb.
So pretty much, mine and his opinion are exactly
are the same.
The same.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got coming up on the award-winning video series from the Command Center?
You know what? To be honest, absolutely 100% nothing. I just did episode 40, and I was actually supposed to put 41 out this week, and I started looking through my Ranger tubs, and I just don't – I don't know. I don't really have – I mean, I've done everything that I have. I really need to get that Titan Megazord. I'll probably take like a month or two off and hit up some toy shows and try to build a little bit more Power Ranger stuff up, but I don't know. It's sad to say, but 40 episodes is a lot of Power Ranger toys.
Yep. Yep. So thank you for joining us here from the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us, so leave feedback for the site, or for the show. Visit the websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes, please do this. We actually have iTunes feedback. Yay! As soon as I pull it up. I've got too many windows open. All right. So the first set of reviews here is, let's see here. We got one from T. Geisen who left the voicemail. Thank you, sir. He says, due to the universe hating me, I'll be posting my voicemail in here. So thank you so much for that review. It was a 5-star review. We've got one from Danny the Ultrasonic Player, left on October 15th, 2012. Amazing 5-star review. Just more phenomenal through and through. This podcast was actually my first exposure to Geekcast Radio and opened the door to me to discover the other great GCRN podcasts like The Beast Unleashed. Yes, TFG, I'm like, all roads do lead back to the low road, no matter what anyone naysayers may say. Telecast, MR, and of course, the TFGM podcast. Scotty Cash and TFGM Mike are highly entertaining. So if you love Power Rangers, then ready your morphers. You'll love this podcast. Another one from, we've actually got a long one here from, let's see. Great show for Power Ranger fans by Manga Knight 2. I love this podcast. Bring back memories of my childhood back. Scotty Cash and THO Mike, this show, they have great chemistry together. It is never boring and leaves us wanting more and more. They do make mistakes, but small ones. We are all human. You can't expect them to remember every detail. Besides that, I have no complaints with the show, and I was hooked since day one I started listening to it. Keep up the good work, guys. Can't wait till the next episode. P.S. For conversation, if Saban makes a serious miniseries for the fans of Power Rangers, you can bring back any combination of veteran Rangers. We've talked about this before. We appreciate you leaving it in your review. We've talked about the veteran Rangers thing before. And until they actually do it, I'm not even going to give anyone an answer because I don't know what Saban is going to do in that case. And the final one is from a longtime fan, Tao Care. Best Power Rangers podcast I've come across. 5-star review. I found this podcast by accident while browsing the internet one day, and I have been a fan ever since. Scotty Cash and TFG and Mike are good hosts, fun to listen to, and even though they tend to forget things here and there, which leads me to yell at my computer to correct them or help fill in the blanks since they are forgetful even though the fans will help them afterwards. Mm-hmm. Spirit of the Vault Matrix is great addition to the podcast with his Super Sentai portion, giving us the info on differences in the original source material and the American adaptations, if any, gone... prime examples are being Upper Ranger, Car Ranger, Die Ranger, Deca Ranger. He essentially lists a lot of the other ones. I don't know why people would like the Sentai segment to be longer, and the iTunes reviewers never did give an answer, so they are just complaining for the hell of it. Yeah, we don't know either. No one ever emailed me or emailed into our sites to let us know why they want the Sentai clip sooner in the podcast. My favorite episodes were when you had the interviews with Barbara Goodson. Yeah, that's right. We talked to Batgirl.
Hell yeah, we did.
Barbara Goodson and Robert Axelrod, the voices of Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa. The interview with Daniel Southworth from Time Force, and the interview with Jason David Frank. All the episodes going over the Zordon era, Power Rangers, and Power Rangers Dino Thunder, where Tommy Oliver, Dr. O, as Connor Ethan and Kara called him, made his final appearance as a veteran Power Ranger, at least for now. The reason why Jason David... he goes on to say in the iTunes review of why Jason David Frank took off time from Dino Thunder. We got that as after the episode. We actually heard it from him, actually. Keep up the great work, and let the power protect you all. So thank you to the iTunes reviewers for leaving us reviews. We appreciate any and all feedback. You can follow us on Twitter. My name there is TFD and Mike. Do you even use Twitter at all?
No.
No, you don't use it. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio or at Pop Culture Net. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network, and you can also search out popculturenetwork.com over on Facebook. You can find PCN on YouTube, where the award-winning From the Command Center video series is. It is youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk with Power Rangers Jungle Fury.
Oh, I can't wait. Love me some Jungle Fury.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash, the Jungle Fury champion.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. I honestly don't know what it is about Jungle Fury. I actually watched it when it was airing. I watched like the first four or five episodes, and then I don't know what it was, whether I moved somewhere, whether I lost interest. I'm not really sure. So I'm going into that one with an open mind. Mm-hmm. I do remember seeing like the very first episode, and I know that I watched more than one. But I remember the whole, you know, I forget what the
Daishi,
Daishi and the other kid, the little scrawny kid. Was it Nick?
No,
the kid that eventually becomes the Red Ranger.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
At this point, I can't think of his name, and you know, we'll talk about it next month. But I remember seeing the two of them fight over who was going to be the Red Ranger. But other than that, I don't remember anything, so I'm gonna have to go back and watch that.
Well, what happened was Daishi was supposed to be the Red Ranger, but he ended up being a dickhead because the guy that ended up being the Red Ranger was just the towel boy.
Yeah,
but he ended up having like a tiger inside of him or whatever, and the master was like, "Yeah, dickhead, you're out, tiger boy, you're in." So then the bad guy becomes Daishi.
Oh boy, that's a lot of woods to go through.
I promise you, I really do love Jungle Fury. I mean, it's the Red Ranger he's one of my favorite Red Rangers. He does a really good job.
Meg! Who are you?
Surprise! Hello.
Looks like you guys could use a little help.